Honorable Court.
Hello?
Honorable
Court. It's me, Marspace Bars. I'm just stopping by to say congratulations to the Bitcoin Bugle. Because they've been smoking cigs and stacking podcasts for the last year. They got one of them strategic podcast reserves at this point, you know? Y'all think Linaldin is hot? You should check out this fucking hot streak from the Bitcoin Bugle. It's one to be reckoned with. They're all out there playing 5D chess while we're all stuck in fucking 4D mode or some shit, you know? It's like they're Dennis Porter's Dennis Porter or some shit, you know? I mean, I have my fucking wife when I listen to this shit, you know? You have to go re after you listen to that shit, you know? I mean, they asked me to do this fucking recording. I'm like, what the fuck am I even gonna say, you know? I mean, I'm like, listen, fuck. It's fucking, I'm screwing it up right now. I'm gonna go fucking listen to the Bugle. Fuck this shit. Yeah. I fucked this up. Fuck.
Hey guys, this is Kaylee Welch. I just want to say I'm sorry I've been gone for a while, but I'm back for the 1 year anniversary of the Bugle Weekly. Maybe sometime soon I'll get into the reasons why I left. It was due to some personal reasons, but now those issues are handled. All that matters now is that I'm here and I'm ready to help Rod and Richard take the Bugle to the next level. I wanted to start out the show by sharing some testimonials we received from Bugle Weekly fans. Before we get into that, I just wanted to say, fuck PodConf, smoke Marlboros, and listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week.
Hey guys, Fundamentals here. Want to congratulate you on a year of the Bugle, and really just thank you. Thank you guys for coming together and doing what you do. It meant so much to me from the first time I heard you guys. I didn't know who you were. I just heard the show and the lights came on for me, like, oh my God, something great now exists. Something really great exists in the universe, and I was really, really happy about it. It's probably like the way a lot of people feel when they see like Linaldin or Dennis Porter, Orange Pill people, and they just see what's possible for themselves. And that was definitely my experience hearing you guys, but more so, you guys really spoke to my soul. You gave me music, comedy, and ultimately friendship. And, you know, since really getting to know you guys, I've taken a big leap forward in what I'm giving to the world, and it's all because of what I see possible as a result of you guys being around and being in my corner and just building together. So I'm so appreciative to know you guys, to have you guys in my life, to be building with you. And I see nothing but open road ahead of us. And I'm really, really excited about it. Congrats.
This is Stephen Lupka, head of private clients at Swan. The Bugle Weekly has been one of the most important developments in journalism and news in the Bitcoin space. Their hard-hitting and no-holds-barred reporting has helped us all understand what the Bitcoin industry is truly about.
This is Rob Hamilton, co-founder and CEO of AnchorWatch. Happy birthday, Bugle, 1 year old. It's really an incredible time in the Bitcoin industry because of true, you know, bleeding edge journalism that you guys are able to put on every week. It's really an inspiration to everyone building in the space to see someone who's able to leverage the properties of sound money and thermodynamically engineered podcasts to be able to really extend the reach. And while there are many fake journalists out there like Shinobi, it's good to see that there are hard-hitting journalists like Rod Palmer and Dick Greaser that are really pushing the frontier forward.
This is Sly Gumba, prolific Bitcoin tweeter and top-tier Bitcoin podcaster. I want to congratulate the Bugle Weekly on 52,500 blocks of Bitcoin podcasts produced. The space is much more thermodynamically sound with Rod Palmer and Dick Greaser leading the way of the news and stories that matter. Congrats, guys, and keep up the good work.
I mean, let's just talk about the Bugle for a second here.
Avi, yeah. Let's celebrate the 1 year anniversary of Bugle Weekly podcast.
A truly groundbreaking work in media and journalism, and some would even say performance art. Aren't you amazed at the constant stream of celebrities they're able to attract, such as Joe Rogan, Donald Trump, Morgan Freeman, and Party Ben?
Well, KW, they are certainly shining a light on the most important issues in Bitcoin, such as the trials and tribulations of Dennis Porter's hero's journey to attain NGU at all costs, and whether some guy called Shinobi is hot or not. Bitcoin podcasting has never been the same since the Bugle Weekly came onto the scene. I would strongly urge our listeners to tune into their show, and ideally, and if you haven't done so already, I would ideally do so by listening to 40 hours per week.
Welcome to this very special edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is Richard Greaser. You probably know that by now, but we're probably having some people tune in for the very first time. The Bugle is getting a lot of attention this week due to Maxi Madness, but on this podcast, the most thermodynamically sound podcast in the entire ecosystem of Bitcoin podcasts, done by exceptionally credentialed journalists, this is a very special episode. This is the one-year anniversary of the Bugle Weekly, and I think we have successfully, in the past year, Rod, we have changed the entire landscape of Bitcoin podcasting dramatically.
Right, right. We started out talking about, you know, last spring, talking about compliance, and it was time to stop putting up with the non-compliance of the government. And then, you know, but we were the ones that needed to be compliant. It wasn't a two-way street. So we decided to go on a compliance strike in the month of May. And then we out-complied the government. We reported that Bitcoin has already won. We reported on the bull market. And we set the stage for the post-PodConf environment that we live in today, where PodConf doesn't have the same control that they used to.
Yes, in many ways, we've decentralized podcasting, which has been
exactly.
We created a movement. We've created multiple movements over the last year with doing the podcast. We have the 40 HPW movement. We've got, I think a lot of people were struggling with being proud of being Bitcoin podcasters. They had some podcaster guilt. We've really combated that pretty dramatically. We brought pride back to being a Bitcoin podcaster. We have, we created.
Yeah, I think the Bitcoin podcasters were shy, and we helped Bitcoin podcasters stop being shy.
We helped them stop being shy. We created the Intellectual Silk Road. That was a big movement. Probably one of the most important movements. I mean, we've created, while we're on friendlier terms with PodConf, like we've moved the needle pretty significantly with PodConf. They've realized the importance of playing ball with us. Before they tried to not take us seriously, and then they tried to come after us and change our behavior. But we are standing victorious right now, where PodConf has actually bent the knee to us. They bent the knee to the Intellectual Silk Road. They're recognizing us for our accomplishments. So anybody that's criticizing us for working with PodConf, you have to recognize and see that we're really the ones in control. And like Mars said in the intro, everybody's out here playing 4D chess. We're out here playing 5D chess, just running the tables.
Right. Because essentially, a lot of people have given us credit that I don't think we deserve over the past year. So they said that we've they said that we, created PodConf. They said that we created, this idea that Bitcoin had already won. They say that, we created all of these, the Intellectual Silk Road. They said that we created these value for value economies, but we didn't. We discovered them. And that's really the power of discovery. And we tried to like sum it up and talk about it, but it's like, once you notice the truth, you can't solve the problems that you've noticed by yourself. And you can't force other people to notice the same things that you've noticed. You can show them, and some people will notice. Not everyone will. But once you have noticed, once you have discovered what's real in your reality, that's how you begin to manipulate it. That's how you begin to transact adversarially against it. Because that is really the solution, is to notice. And once you know the truth, once you recognize it, and you get good at recognizing it, you can begin to, move one step ahead of the rest of this, you know, monolithic Leviathan that's kind of moving, and it's slow. It's like a big bureaucratic machine, but you've escaped from it. You can stay ahead of it. You're more agile than it.
Yeah. One of the things I want to highlight. So, you went on Plebchain Radio, last week. And I thought it was a great episode. I would encourage people to go listen to it. You did a lot of Maxi Madness analysis. You talked about the importance of it, what all was going on, you know, did some recaps of what was going on. But one of the things I really appreciated you talking about was, just generally remembering where we started, because Plebchain was one of the first shows to have both of us on in the beginning. They were one of the first ones that to have me on, you know, at the start of the Bugle. And it definitely was a reminder of just how far we've come as an organization. And, you know, one of our chief tenets or creeds that we've carried throughout this is the importance of credentials in this industry, and how much the credentials can have an impact on the larger industry. And, you know, we're working out here. We don't have as many resources as people, but when you combine smoking cigarettes with credentials, you could shift an entire industry. And like, you know, one of the Plebchain guys that, you know, they were talking about being discouraged. They're talking about it, you know, people having too much emphasis on NGU and, you know, talking about the price going up and not really being tied into these cypherpunk principles. And what I think is really important for people to understand is, you know, PodConf and the power that they have, all they could really do, like, they can't shape reality. They could just shape people's perspectives of reality. You know, we're the individuals that at the end of the day are shaping the reality. When we go out and we conduct a non-KYC cigarette transaction and operate in the value for value economy, and we're practicing good privacy practices and not using custodial lightning wallets and whatever, you know, we're shaping the destiny of the future, you know, and PodConf doesn't have control over that scenario. And there's millions of people doing that on a daily basis, and it's only growing. And, you know, this is why PodConf is so alarmed, is because, you know, people are actually using Bitcoin in the way that it was kind of outlined in the white paper, which is very inconvenient for their narrative of compliance is defiance. You know, we're crushing that narrative. And I think it's important for, you know, our listeners to remember just the way that their perceptions are being shaped, you know, the platforms that they're using, the way that information is controlled. And you really need credentials on your side. So I feel pretty proud of us right now, what we've done with the show, what we've done with the Bugle as a whole. I think it's been a really worthwhile endeavor. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, like my time in the traditional media, how soul crushing it was. And I feel great. I feel on top of the world. You know, because I'm living out this Randian philosophy, you know, of being the John Galt of journalism. And I hope, you know, for our listeners that they can experience something similar, you know, of doing things that matter to them. And instead of getting discouraged by, you know, what PodConf is spewing to really try and live into what their principles are and do what they feel is right and necessary, regardless of what everybody else is doing, what the TV is telling them, what PodConf approved podcasters are saying, what PodConf approved influencers are putting on Twitter, what the pseudo spoofers are doing to manufacture consent and narratives. Like, it's like, don't be sad, guys. Bitcoin's already won. We're winning. I think just like even achieving a year of doing this podcast is just proof that Bitcoin's winning.
Yeah, I think this discouragement, this distraction, this letting, you know, Donald Trump, you know, I warned about this a few months ago, that Donald Trump is going to try to change Bitcoin's logo. He's going to try to put his hair on the Bitcoin logo, because then he would have control over it. He would control the meme. And while he didn't literally do that yet, he has kind of taken over the like role as president or like leader of Bitcoin. Like, he's created, we're relying on him to create the strategic reserve, the markets, the NGU is all contingent on what Donald Trump and the federal government and the central banks are going to do and how much Bitcoin they're going to buy, and Dennis Porter and trying to get these passed at the state level, the strategic Bitcoin reserves. And we were so focused on that that one of the most important aspects of the entire Bitcoin industry in Maxi Madness, one of the most prestigious tournament, while everybody was distracted watching CNN for their Bitcoin advice. I mean, Twitter shared, you know, this video of Mr. Wonderful talking on Fox News about telling people instead of getting a hardware wallet and watching BTC sessions tutorials, they should just buy it on Coinbase. And it's like, that's what that's what people are paying attention to instead of what really matters and what is the signal. That's how Teddy Bitcoin gets to Sweet 16 in Maxi Madness. That's a prestigious round. Like, Teddy Bitcoins has taken out very well-known, very well-respected Bitcoin-only plebs. And, like, that's unacceptable. And, like, when you stop focusing on solving your problems and your community's problems and building things for yourself and building things for your community, you start focusing too much on politics, your community and your culture rots. Your life rots, your network rots. And I think Teddy Bitcoins is proof that we need to take care of our own like house. We need to fix our own value for value communities. We need to build the tools that we need to use Bitcoin the way we need to use it. We need to build access to always being able to get non-KYC cigarettes and being able to use Noster. And if you focus on that, I don't see how you can be discouraged, because there's just so much progress and there's so much available to use and to orange pill people. There's no excuse to be an orange cell today. There's just none.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why we listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week isn't to get extremely upset because Jason Williams is a shitcoiner, right? The reason why we listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week is so that we can understand what's going on in the world, in order to take care of our families, in order to build our parallel systems we're operating in, and in order to create a better future. That's the purpose of it. Not to get lost in the weeds, upset about other people, you know, misbehaving. Other people are always going to misbehave.
You're not going to be able to go to a family Thanksgiving and not have, you know, a nephew, a cousin, you know, your uncle trying to troll you and tell you that XRP is going to flip in Bitcoin, and that XRP is the new technology, and that Bitcoin is like so old and so out of date that like the code that they use to build it is called Rust because it's so rusty and old. And that's a lie. That was something that meme coiners were trolling Pledger about. It's a rumor. It's been community noted that Bitcoin is not old. But you're never going to be able to avoid that. But if you listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week, that gives you the conviction and the time preference levels to just not be bothered by it. they're trying to trigger you. They just want to see you flip out and fucking maybe even block them, you know, like, because then they can basically screenshot it and show everybody else at the dinner table, and everybody will laugh at you for getting that. And it's just to let you know that you don't have to do that, that you don't have time to waste arguing about shitcoiners. You have 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast to listen to. You have a community to build. You have Bitcoin Fixes This. You are fixing things.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and this is why it's important to read Atlas Shrugged twice a year from front to back, and to pair that with your 40 hours per week, you know, because there's some pretty important lessons. And I would also suggest The Fountainhead. The Fountainhead is definitely like a good ad to your reading list, but you look like at a character in The Fountainhead, like Howard Rourke, you know, he didn't get upset that other people were shitcoining. You know what I mean? He was just out there trying to draw up and be the best architect that he possibly could. You look at a character like Dagny Taggart, you know, she wouldn't get lost in the weeds and have her day ruined by the fact that Wesley Mauch was out there, you know, causing all sorts of mayhem in Washington, making her job difficult. She's just out there trying to solve problems and be a certified badass. I think these are lessons that we could take and apply to our own lives the best that we can. And, you know, she was more interested in finding out where these cigarettes were being made, these low time preference capitalist cigarettes were being made. And this is why I refer to myself as a cigarette capitalist, because I think that's much more of a fruitful endeavor to be on than being Twitter's hall monitor like Pledator. You know what I mean? We have such limited time in our lives. Our lives are very short.
Well, I don't want to discourage anybody from being the next Pledator, because the point really is, unless you have the discipline, the conviction, and like the it's not for everybody. You have to have a love for the game. And unless you have the ability to do it at the standards and excellence that somebody like Pledator does it, you're wasting your time. You're going to get called out for hypocrisy. You're going to get caught up. Somebody's going to share a group chat exposing you for sending them Tether on Liquid, or buying a meme coin, or just, you know, even talking about buying a meme coin. Like, you're just going to get in trouble for it. So unless you can just completely shut the temptations of scams and unregistered securities out of your life, which most of us can't, we're trying to, but we can't achieve perfection. Nobody can. Then, you know, just be honest and have some common sense and contribute a little bit more than you take. You don't have to be the next Pledator. You don't have to, you know, report your own family members to the SEC because they use Monero to buy non-KYC anime. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, it's just mind your business and provide a way for people to connect.
Totally. Well, I just want to highlight, so we've been getting some heat from the Bitcoin SJWs and Maxi Madness this week. And I just want to highlight why we've gone about things the way that we've done, why we haven't taken money from sponsorships, why, you know, we focus on.
Yeah, to be sure, we do have sponsors all over our graphics. But that money's not going to us. That is all going towards whoever wins the prediction bracket challenge. They're getting a bid axe, you know, cypherpunk stickers, candles, and that is who the sponsors are for. It's not any profit for us.
But the reason why we've gone about this is, you know, the Bitcoin SJWs are out there trying to use cancel culture against us and against the contestants in the tournament. And we don't have to submit to it. We have the freedom not to submit to it. The one thing though that is kind of perilous for us is we don't have the operating budget to afford Jewish lawyers at the moment. That's something we're trying to resolve.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's, you know, in good faith, the selection committee chose 64 participants, and they did a damn good job. There was three that people really took offense to. It was Fred Krueger. Last I saw was a picture of him in a Swan Salon. I figured if he was at a Swan Salon with Corey, that he was a Bitcoin maximalist. I was wrong, apparently. Or, you know, I voted for him, but it wasn't just me, it was the committee. Okay, so fine. We got that one wrong. And then somebody said that Jason Williams going parabolic. Well, when I first got into Bitcoin, he was on every Bitcoin podcast, and he was friends with every Bitcoin podcaster, and people person is in PodConf today, and he had some book about you. Bitcoin is money you can't fuck with. I mean, he goes on Preston Pish's podcast. He goes on What Bitcoin Did. I thought he was safe. Fine. Again, apparently, I don't pay enough attention. And the third one was Teddy Bitcoins. I mean, come on. His name is Teddy Bitcoins. Yeah, he had MSTR in his bio, but like, I thought MSTR MicroStrategy was fine. Everybody loves Sailor MicroStrategy until what? Until we put Teddy Bitcoins in the bracket. Okay. Well, here's the thing. We were trying to put shitcoiners. We made honest mistakes. People make honest mistakes. But A, we have the bracket challenge, so we can't just change it because somebody is upset that they lost, or somebody suspects without any evidence or proof that the other person is buying bots to, I mean, prove it. What evidence do you have for this claim? So we can't just change it. We open ourselves to being sued. And like Richard said, we can't afford Jewish lawyers to save us from this. And second of all is you talked about the cancel culture, but you know, we also talked about you have to deal with this in life. Sometimes there's going to be a shitcoiner at your conference or on your podcast, or they're going to become a shitcoiner later. It maybe somebody you watch pill becomes a shitcoiner, and you think it hurts your reputation. But you have to be able to get over that, and you can't rely on PodConf to cancel somebody just because you don't like, you know, their tweets, or you just don't like, you know, the stuff that they send DMs to Predator. You just can't do that. And we can't cancel somebody and kick them out of our community just because we have, you know, a theory, a conspiracy theory about that they might be a shitcoiner.
I personally wouldn't characterize any of the decisions that the committee made as mistakes. I think the committee put a lot of thought into it. And with something as high stakes as Maxi Madness, somebody's going to get upset at the end of the day. And whether it was Fred Krueger or Teddy Bitcoins or Jason Williams, you know, somebody would have gotten upset about something. You know, this is the problem with purity tests, right? Is on a long enough time horizon, everybody fails, and under enough scrutiny, everybody fails. Like in the eyes of many Maxis, I'm a shitcoiner. And I'm okay with that. Like, you know, I accept the Monero on this, I don't really promote it. I'm not really, you know, excited about it, but, you know, I do it. And I think it's a viable way to buy non-KYC cigarettes. And there's people that want to get it as Monero. And it just doesn't really conflict with my morals. But, you know, this is like the danger of like giving power to all the SJWs out there and falling for identity politics and giving it too much power in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And I just don't care. I don't care that people are upset about Teddy Bitcoins. I think this is a good opportunity for people to get out and vote, for there to be just a massive red wave, for people to participate in our democracy, honestly and fairly, you know, to vote in person instead of vote by mail. To do all these things that can counteract, you know, the mail-in ballots that are being submitted in the Twitter polls. And I wouldn't care to. I stand by all the decisions of the committees, and that's an opinion, you know, that I'll die on.
And it's also a lesson just to, you know, don't get so emotionally attached to things that you can only control by voting for. You know, if the only thing you can do to change something is vote, you know, vote or not, that's your decision, but just don't get, you know, don't let it ruin your day.
Well, and there should be a consolation too, that you know that Teddy Bitcoins is buying bots, or somebody affiliated with him is buying bots instead of buying Bitcoin. You know, that should be a consolation in of itself, that you have the opportunity to cast your ballot, to buy Bitcoin, to not buy bots. And
right, exactly. And this is thermodynamics. This is why you listen to 40 hours per week. So you don't get upset. You realize that it's thermodynamically sound to stack sats and not buy bots. It is thermodynamically unsound. You have energy leak. Every time he buys bots instead of Bitcoin, the people who buy Bitcoin only become, you know, a small percentage stronger. And over time, the person who's spending all their Bitcoin to buy bots is going to be poor and not be able to afford to vote in Maxi Madness anymore. So in a couple of years, Dr. Adam Back will still be in Maxi Madness. Teddy Bitcoins will not. He won't be able to afford it anymore.
Not only that, you know, I think, like, we all get frustrated at times, right? We all see things that we disagree with. And I think the solution to that is, instead of, you know, being unhappy about things, is to be the change you want to see in the world. And one of the best ways to do that is to go start a Bitcoin podcast. And you can voice your opinion. You can start submitting your opinion to the free market of ideas. And you can, you know, also contribute to the Bitcoin ecosystem and help the price go up. Because at the end of the day, the more Bitcoin podcasts there are, the higher the price of Bitcoin priced in USDT it will be.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a big competition now. There's been some great memes. There's some great, Yellow. If you're listening to this, go to Yellow's timeline and look at the one. That should be a pretty good recap of day one. There's also the Maxi Madness recap that you'll find on Twitter and on Noster by Timmy Tether, who's doing a great job on the March Maxi Madness content stream. Really appreciate Timmy Tether working with us. And it's been really great. And we're getting more followers on social media. Like I said, you're probably a lot of people listening to this podcast for the first time after listening to Pleb Chain or seeing us on Maxi Madness on their timeline. So, yeah, tell them a little bit more, Richard, about, what else do we do? We got music. We've got written articles. We do a lot of headlines. What more is coming? You got books coming. You got, I don't want to say it. Maybe you can bleep it out, but, rhymes with GBT playing cards. What's in store?
Well, that last one I kind of want to leave on the download until we have something shippable. But that is an exciting development. But yeah, I mean, the Bugle is working on doing some big things over the next year. I mean, we're really working at a breakneck pace to deliver the world the most thermodynamically sound products possible. So, you know, I started a new podcast this week, the past week, which I'm really excited about. So I did an interview with an incredible band called Skardust. It's called Behind the Music. So as you know, the Bugle has been engaging in a lot of music endeavors. And one of the things I want to do is highlight a lot of musicians out there that are doing cool stuff. And I felt like Skardust was one of those bands I wanted to highlight. They produced an incredible song with an incredible music video, pertaining to Bitcoin, you know, talking about the, kind of the history of Satoshi making the decision to leave Bitcoin. This is something a lot of new Bitcoiners don't really know about. And I thought it was important to highlight as something very culturally relevant and valuable and highly, highly produced. And I want to continue to grow that and find musicians that are interested. You know, we're talking with comedians in the industry, that there might be some ability to do overlap, with that. We're looking at doing live performances. That's one of the ones I'm the most excited about. So stay tuned. We'll have some announcements about things that we're going to be doing in Vegas here in the near future. I'm really excited about what's going on. One of the things that I think is really important to highlight, you know, with the roadmap, is we have all these people that have come alongside us to support us throughout this whole endeavor. And that's why we're at right now. We've gotten the community buy-in from so many talented people that allow us to do what we do, whether it's collaborations with Ungovernable Misfits, who have been reading our articles on their show for years now, big supporters of us. We're working on collaborations with them. It unfortunately, you know, they've hit some roadblocks and have slowed it down, but stay tuned for that. They're some of my favorite people, you know, the supportive people like PlebChain. They taught us how to use Noster. That's been incredibly valuable. You look at April Fools or April 1st last year, where Bitcoin Magazine let us publish some very important articles on their site. That was very helpful and very fun to be able to use a bigger platform like them. Are working with Liberty Under Attack, one of my favorite publications. That's the book publisher I'm going to be using in the future. I don't really have an interest in working with anybody else because I love what Rayo's doing over there. I don't think there's anything that fits the cypherpunk ethos in regards to book publishing more so than what he's doing. But he also has published my music on Spotify, which is really cool. There's so many collaborations that we've been working on. You know, the support of Orange Mart, that was huge. I took a tour of the Orange Mart. They showed me around. They had the Dennis Porter PodConf mural in there, which was, I was a little bit disappointed, but they did an incredible video of somebody defacing it, which made me really happy. Let's see, what else? I think we're just going to see more collaborations. Like, one of the things that was really cool.
Meme Factory, for sure. Don't forget Meme Factory, Yellow.
Yellow has been very supportive of us, very helpful. He's been hanging out in Twitter spaces doing commentary on Maxi Madness all last week. Yellow has been a big supporter of us. Meme Factory had us on their show. That was awesome. You know, Party Bent came on the show. We've had a lot of awesome interviews with Behind the Podcast. We're going to continue to have more awesome interviews with Behind the Podcast.
If you remembered, if you mentioned Rock, Paper, Bitcoin, Fundamentals, the guys at the Mesh to Dell, Pies are big supporters, Southside Dave, big supporters of the podcast since day one. Anchor Watch, Rob Hamilton, Shinobi, Mark Goodwin. All the other people in the group chats, Macro Minutes. I could keep going on. If I forgot you, I didn't mean to, but Frank Corva.
Frank Corva. Yeah. I mean, I got a ton of respect from so many people, you know, Optimus and Simply Bitcoin. I'm looking to do some collaborations with him. I need to follow up with that, but I was teasing Opti with the potential of doing some music collaborations, doing some rap songs together. I think that would be a lot of fun. And that's something I definitely want to follow up on. But yeah, I'm just excited. Like I want to do a lot more collaborations with people. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Yeah, I mean, talk about Fundamentals. What a great guy. I mean, that guy has had a huge year. How many Bitcoin podcasts is he doing right now? Is he up to three? He's got the.
I think he's up to four. He's got Math, Fish, Bitcoin on Rock, Paper, Bitcoin. I think he's got one with Coffee. With Otis Bittmeyer. I mean, he's got a lot of podcasts right now, and He's donating almost all of it to Samra.
He's writing a book. P2P Rights Foundation. I think what they're doing is huge. I think it's great. Yeah, as far as the pipeline for the next year, I think we're going to continue to grow. I think we're going to continue to... So, like, one of the things that was the most exciting about the Stardust interview that I did was Noah Grumman, this very, very talented singer, one of the most talented singers in the world, if not the most talented female singer in the world, covered your song, Rod, the 40 hours per week, which I just thought was absolutely incredible.
It was a beautiful rendition. You got to check that out. It felt really great to hear that somebody out there with some talent and appreciation of music was able to put a different spin on that song and give it a different sound. So it was great. It was really cool. The music stuff's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun. I mean, that's one of the biggest horizons that I really want to double down on in the future. You know, we've got somebody working on a 40 hours per week music video that I think is going to be super highly produced. It's just a world of endless possibilities out there that have been granted to us due to our credentials and cigarette smoking and engaging in the value for value economy instead of just being, you know, stuck in, you know, focusing on Michael Saylor thumbnails or, you know, whatever else. I mean, the roadmap's big for what we want to do with the Bugle. I think the live shows are going to be one of the most important aspects of it. I think we're going to have a real opportunity to do some cool stuff in Vegas that I'm really excited about on that front. But, I have this vision for the future of doing things like musicals and movies and cartoon shows. And this is something that's cool that we've been working on with Shane Onex. Is that how you pronounce his last name? He's got some stupid French name.
Yeah. I think. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
It's probably like Uno or something silly. It's French. But he's been doing some incredible comic book artwork. And I think there's a real potential to be actually publishing Bugle comic books here in the future. But you look at, like, you know, the impact that Kaylee had on this show, raising the production level significantly, her coming back to the show and helping out again is great. I think I got big things. I think we got big plans in the pipeline, and it's all done. We're all doing this because we're getting supported by the general community, which is absolutely great. And I think the support will only grow. I think the product will only get better. And we're kind of tapped out on how many cigarettes that we can smoke. But I think Maggie Morris has added a lot of value as well. She's been great in the Twitter spaces over the last week, assisting in the commentary on Maxi Madness. What about you, Rod? What are you excited about in the roadmap, looking forward in the future for the Bugle?
I think it's just engaging with the community. I am more of a, you know, I just like to evolve with the headlines, with the news. I'm a reporter. I roll with the punches, and when there's an opportunity to engage the community, have a tournament, figure out what people like, and make some content, some timely content, it's working with and getting the feedback from our fans in the community that really helps me hone my meme making abilities. And and I think that, you know, before we get into the boosts, thinking about the boosts, and like that's the best way to, you know, engage us when you're first listening to 40 hours per week and you first stumble across the Bugle. But That's just kind of where it starts. And that's where the value for value community kind of starts to grow right there. It's just like, you're listening to 40 hours. We're putting it out. As we grow, like what more signal can we put out, and how can we collaborate?
Totally. Before we go into the Fountain Boost, I did want to mention, collaboration with Orange Label has been awesome. Working on a new clothing line that should be out in the next few weeks. I want it to be really good, so I'm taking my time with it. But the Revolution will not have good UX clothing line. Big shout out to Orange Label. Rod's 40 HPW line, I think, is one of the best clothing lines out there. I think the Comply line is pretty good. But the 40 HPW line is just incredible. I've got my 40 HPW shirt, the Intellectual Silk Road shirt. It's my favorite shirt that I own. When I'm not wearing my suit, it's my go-to. Big fan of it. But Orange Label, huge help. Awesome, awesome group to be partnering with. Hope to do more collaborations with other people like that in the future. Timmy Tether. Timmy Tether has been a great addition to the team. Big fan of Timmy Tether. Saved us from bad UX of podcasting a couple weeks ago. Absolutely just completely revived the episode. Huge help. Adding so much value. Timmy's recaps of Maxi Madness have been on point. Phenomenal. But yeah, let's
do it. Yeah. Let's get into it. I mean, let's talk back. I mean, listen, before I even open up the app, I know we're going to get multiple zaps, multiple boosts from Pies. He was talking a few weeks ago about he was going to put the headphones down. He's going to give his ears he's going to touch some grass. He's going to take off some time from the Bitcoin podcast. But it looks like he's changed his mind. And we got a couple of 420 sats and then 100 sats boost from Pies. Pies goes, "Yo, son, I want in on the tournament, but it should be a cage fight to the death. I'll eat 1/8 the mushrooms and destroy anyone in my path. Fucking writing a book." Well, Pies, if you listeners should probably know about the Bitcoin Fight Club. So you might be able to get in on a matchup on that one for the Bitcoin conference if you can make it, which we hope you can. But a fight to the death, eating an ape of mushrooms, that's tough. I mean, while Bitcoiners like mushrooms, I like mushrooms. I think they're very valuable. A cage fight to the death is a pretty high time preference activity. And right now I'm trying to focus on stacking sats and enjoying life. But I'm sure there's somebody out there who would do a cage fight to the death. But I don't know. I feel like Pies is probably going to win that one. He's kind of crazy in a good way. But if you get that sanctioned, let us know. His next one, he says 420 sats as well. By the way, if I can't fist fight anyone as part of the tournament, I'm going with American HODL for the win. I fucks with HODL, bruh. Larry Leopard would be my runner-up. I mean, those are pretty good. Those are pretty solid picks. I think a lot of people fuck with American HODL.
Yeah, I think the boosts were a little bit lower on this episode. I think it's because a lot of people were on spring break. Pies, I think fighting to death is a bad idea. And the reason why it's a bad idea is we need more Bitcoin podcasters. We need more Bitcoin podcast listeners. We cannot afford to lose them in that regard. So I think there's other ways to settle disputes or determine who the most macho Bitcoin podcast listener is. But as always, Pies, your boosts are definitely appreciated. On my fountain, it says anonymous for 1,010 sats. Does yours have a name on it, or is yours anonymous as well?
No, that's Blizza. That's Blizza. Blizza's a key comments or boosts most weeks.
Cool. Well, Blizza says, "Ever since the price of Bitcoin dropped, I cannot afford to pay my taxes. Now I need to find a credentialed tax preparer. Ever since I found the Beagle, I realized how important credentials in every facet of life." Well,
oh, yeah.
my suggestion on that, you know, when you're looking for a credentialed tax person, the race really matters. You know, you want to find a good Jew to do your taxes for you. You know, typically when I have a question like this, I go to Fundamentals, you know, because Fundamentals is Jewish, so he knows a lot of good Jewish people. You know, he's had family members that have been accountants. He used to be an actuary. He's a good point of reference to get at least a referral, in my opinion. He might disagree with me, but that's just him being humble on that regard. But yeah, anyways, we hope, Blizza, that the price of Bitcoin will go up. And, you know, one of the ways to make the price of Bitcoin go up so that you can afford your taxes is to start a Bitcoin podcast.
It's getting to the point where the acceleration is creating a necessity. You can't just, you know, work 40 hours a week, mining coal, working at the cigarette factory. If you had a government job, you got fired from that, from Doge. That's sort of a Bitcoin podcast, and it's not going to monetize necessarily right away. But if it just pays for your weekly cigarette consumption, then, you know, that's a savings that you can use to stack more sats.
Awesome. I think we have another pies boost that you missed all the way at the bottom for 100 sats. Says V for V, hashtag 40 HPW. But yeah. The last boost.
Go ahead.
Last boost of the day from Odie, 40 HPW, 2,121 sats, so about two cigarettes, a little bit over. Says, Bugle boosting boosts unbearish beliefs and bringing bullish Bitcoin back. Not a poem.
Yeah, Odie wrote us a poem last week. This week he gave us that boost. Odie's from somewhere in the country of Europe. I think it's like where they have glaciers and snow, where you have to wear a coat and smoke outside every day of the year. But sometimes you can smoke outside at 1 o'clock in the morning and it's light out. So he's probably listening to the podcast at like when we're all sleeping.
Very cool. Well, thank you for the boost, Odie. And yeah, I mean, I really appreciated the poem last week. I thought that was very impressive. Very, very.
That was fire. That was fire.
Well, Rod, you got any closing thoughts to wrap up this episode?
If you're listening to this when it first comes out Monday morning, Monday afternoon, it's not too late to participate in Sweet 16 of the Maxi Madness. If you're listening on Tuesday morning, it's not too late to participate in the Elite Eight. Then we got the Final Four. Then we got the Five. It's all ending next week. So make sure you get in there, check it out, vote for your favorite Maxi. Make sure you get there and if you vote for your favorite. If your favorite's American HODL, he's got a big matchup against BTC Sessions tomorrow. Make sure you get in there and show your support. Don't let Daddy Bitcoins beat Adam back. Satoshi, potentially. Although it's probably Peter Todd. Hell yeah. And keep supporting the Bugle. And we will keep delivering you the real news that you can trust.
Thanks for tuning in. And we'll catch you next week.
I just, you know, wholeheartedly recommend to listen to 40 hours per week. 40 hours I seek. 40 hours per week. 40 hours I seek. And that's just a start. That's it. This is all I wanted to say.
Headphones on, volume up. Headphones on, volume up. I came for the money, I came for the gains. I wanted a Lambo and side chicks on planes. But after a while, my NPC brain became obsessed with the immutable chain. 40 hours per week. 40 hours I see. just the start. Difficulty adjustments turn my world upside down, then breed love and sailor dropped a track called thermodynamically sound. Before I could notice, my path had been set. I was orange pilled so hard, I was a national security. That's just the start. Now I'm in the podcast studio 2 days a week. I haven't missed a meetup in 21 weeks. Now I pick the conference over my own wedding. I'm so far down the rabbit hole, I don't see it ending. That's just the start.